Later this morning, the Senate Judiciary Committee will hold its first hearing on the Music Modernization Act. The bill would pave the way for improved royalty payments to songwriters, artists, and creatives in the digital era. For a closer look, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central News line by John Simpson. He's music industry expert and program director for the Business and Entertainment Program at American University. Thanks for joining us this morning. Is there actually anyone against this bill?
There are a few fringe groups, but most of the major players are in favor of this bill.
So what does it do, and does it really solve this huge problem that has basically landed on the music industry, which is the old rules don't apply anymore?
Yeah, it is an interesting bill, and it does solve a couple of major problems. We're currently dealing with a licensing statute that was passed in 1909 to deal with piano rolls. And they're trying to shoehorn, you know, Spotify and Google and Apple Music, which are trying to license 30 million tracks, not one piano roll, into the same statute, and it's not working. So this will fix that in a very artful way, and I think it's a much-needed fix. It's long overdue. There's another piece of the bill that helps artists who recorded before 1972, actually, most specifically, February 15th of 1972, there were no copyrights in sound recordings. So the record label and the recording artist never had a federal copyright if they recorded earlier than that. In fact, I did an album in 1971, not that anyone knows about it. But the it's now going to fix that. So services that stream music, like Pandora, SiriusXM, have basically said, you know, and courts have said, you don't have to pay for pre-72 recordings. This bill will fix that and say, no, these legacy artists need to be paid as well. And that's a much-needed fix for, obviously, artists who are much older, don't tour anymore, or certainly have much more difficulty touring.
Digital delivery of our music is not new. Why has this taken so long?
That's a really good question. And I think some of it had to do with the way these on-demand services developed. I mean, you know, first we were hit with Napster and Grokster and all of those services at the turn of the century. And it took a long time, you know, for the music industry to respond, but it also to figure out what the business model was going to be. You know, Spotify emerges in 2007, so it's, you know, a little over 10 years old now. But it took Spotify a number of years before, you know, it became sort of the way people consumed music. And so I think now we've started to realize the problems that Spotify's been having, as well as other digital music services, in licensing these songs. And it's actually a very bizarre system where if Spotify sends like a mass demand to the copyright office and says, here are all these people we can't find. If those people haven't actually registered with the copyright office, then Spotify owes them nothing. And so songwriters were actually being prevented from collecting probably tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars because of this loophole. And this will fix that as well.
Does this solve the problem, though, that the streaming services, Pandora, Spotify, all of them have, of having to try to figure out with whom they're actually licensing the music? Because you have the performance rights, you have the composer rights, it's country by country. I mean, this still is a crazy quilt. I'd hate to be a lawyer for one of these firms.
It's a difficult situation. But I will tell you, it does solve it in the sense that, at least for the United States, you essentially create, the bill creates a new collecting society that essentially, it's a one-stop shop. You send them your payment, you send them your data, they figure out how to pay everybody whose recordings are being performed. It's very similar to an organization called Sound Exchange that does the same thing for recording artists and record labels. I actually helped found Sound Exchange back in 2000-2001, and I ran it from 2001 to 2010. And so on the recording side, the record label side, we were a one-stop shop. You would send us all your data, you would send us your payments, and you couldn't be sued. You didn't have to send notices out to people whose works you were using. You essentially, you know, it was a one-stop place. It made it very simple. This is going to create a mirror image for the publishers and songwriters. So it should essentially alleviate the problem.
John Simpson, thank you for joining us this morning. Mr. Simpson, a music industry expert and program director for the Business and Entertainment Program at American University.